On today's show, we'll recap the first couple games of the Stanley Cup Final. We'll tell you about the big trade that went down in the NHL and how can Toronto take advantage of a rebuilding Philly squad. All that and more coming up on the Locked On Leafs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day.
Your Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Wednesday, June 7th edition of the Locked On Leafs podcast, a daily Maple Leaf-centric podcast hosted by myself, Mike DiStefano from TSN, along with my main man, Dave Morisuti from Sportsnet. Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNHL. When you enter the promo code LockedOnNHL, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every order. What's going on, Dave? How you feeling today? It's a Wednesday. It's hump day. We've made it halfway through the week. What's up?
Yeah, we're just surviving here. Just waiting for more trades to happen now.
Well, that was one thing I did not expect to see in the middle of the Stanley Cup Final was like a blockbuster-ish trade, which we saw go down with Ivan Provorov being the main man in this deal. We'll get to the trade in a moment and kind of talk about how Toronto, I think, could be impacted by this. But let's get into this cup final here because we got Vegas leading the series 2-0. We haven't really talked much about the final. Obviously, we did the mailbags those last couple of days, so we haven't touched on it a whole lot. But here we are. The game three, the series has now shifted to Florida with them down 2-0 in the series. What have you made through the first two games of the Stanley Cup final so far, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I think Vegas is showing just how deep team like that can just be so problematic in the playoffs. And, you know, Florida, we kind of expected some sort of fall off to happen. I don't think some expected to be this drastic, but when your goaltender isn't able to have, you know, a 960 save percentage every night, it's going to be hard to win games. So I think Florida coming back to earth is something that many probably saw coming, but maybe not as drastic as it's happened in the first two games.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the save percentage, the last two series where he was just unbelievable against Toronto and then again against Carolina, yeah, he had like an 857 save percentage. And in the two games so far in this series, he's allowed 88 minutes of action. And he's got an 813 save percentage. You're not going to win a whole lot of hockey games in a series, let alone with a 8-13 save percentage. So the question here is, has the bubble finally burst on the Panthers? Like the old adage is that, you know, Toronto or that teams don't typically lose a series until they lose on home ice. But honestly, I can't see a way with the Panthers winning this series at this point. Like, Vegas is just completely overmatching them. They're just way, way better than them, and they're exposing Florida for what they are. And that was just, you know, a team that was hot and relying on a hot goalie. And when the goalie wasn't standing on his head, they're deeply flawed, and especially defensively, and we're starting to see that now. And that's why Vegas able to put up 11 goals. 12 technically with an empty netter. So 12 goals here through two games against this Panther squad.
Yeah, and you're just looking at how the goals are being scored, like very structured. There's not a lot, like, yeah, sure, there's some luck to it, but it's like they're sticking to the game plan that Bruce Cassidy is putting forward. And, you know, the discipline, I think the discipline is the big one from Vegas, because yeah, Florida's tried constantly to get them to play to their game, or, you know, their antics on the ice, and
muck it up. They're trying to muck it up there,
and Vegas is having no part in it. And in a lot of ways, I think they're forcing Florida to show some frustration, right? You know, they lay that big hit on Rocco Gudas, Matthew Tkachuk, then weirdly decides to take, what was it, 2 10-minute game misconducts in the same game. Like, it's just like there, you could tell that Florida is getting unhinged, and if they can't figure out a way to hone that and try to, you know, not let that, you know, overcome them, like, it feels like it's something they're gonna have to figure out, because Vegas is not bowing down to their what they're trying to do physically.
Yeah, I think when you look at this series at this point through the first two games, it comes down to three things for me. One, to your point, the undisciplinedness of the Florida Panthers is really starting to bite them in the ass. They're now a -4 in the special teams department. Vegas has 4 power play goals, and the Panthers have 0. So, you know, when you're -4 on power plays through two games, that's usually not a sign, a good sign and a recipe for success. So that's one. Number two, they're winning. Vegas is winning the goalie battle. Adin Hill has been better than Sergei Bobrovsky. Yeah. That is not a recipe for success. When you look at how the Florida Panthers got there, it was on the back of the goaltender. When that guy is not the best goalie on the ice in any game, the Panthers usually don't end up winning those games. So that's the second one. And the third one for me is Vegas. And this is really where I think the Panthers, they need to figure something out here, or else this is going to be a quick series. The Vegas Golden Knights are winning the net front battles. And that's something that the Panthers were doing a pretty good job of through, you know, the first few series, definitely against Toronto and certainly against the Carolina Panthers, where they weren't allowing Vegas, they weren't allowing Carolina to stand in front of the goaltender and take away sight lines and scream Bobrovsky. And now that Bobs has to be, you know, consistently getting in his crouch, looking around guys, going low, like he's not seeing a lot of pucks, and they're going in the back of the net. And that's mainly just because Vegas, they're a big team, they're a strong team, and they're going to the net, they're screening the goaltender, they're getting traffic in front, and they're finding ways to get pucks in from outside and from the point. We've seen like 3 or 4 goals come in off the point, which is not something that we saw happen in, you know, in the series that the Maple Leafs played, and definitely same thing with Carolina. But Vegas able to get traffic and bodies in front and take away sight lines, and pucks are finding their way through traffic and into the back of the net. That is probably the biggest hurdle that the Panthers have to overcome, I would say, as the series shifts back into Florida, is they got to find a way to clear that net, allow Bobrovsky to see the puck if he's going to try and stop the puck. Because if the Golden Knights are going to run roughshod in front of Bobrovsky and do whatever they want and continue to take away sight lines of the puck, this thing's going to be over in 4 games, man. Like, I would predict a sweep if that adjustment is not made by the Florida Panthers as they head down to Miami for game 3.
Yeah, it just feels like there's so many things that Florida has to improve, not only defensively, but also offensively too. You mentioned Adin Hill. It's early in the morning. Adin Hill has just been so good, but like, I don't think they've really made it that hard on Adin Hill either, right? Like, you talk about the net front battle, like, I don't think Florida's really done enough to make it difficult for Adin Hill in this series. And unless they start doing that, and unless they start to figure out, like Palmer says, you know, yeah, we can try to figure out things offensively, but we're also allowing so many goals too. It's like they got too much that they got to have to figure out here, that it might be overwhelming for them to do it in such a quick turnout that they have to get back into the series.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. The series is now going back to Florida for games 3 and 4, and they got to play a whole heck of a lot better if they want to try and extend this series and go back to Vegas. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, game number 3, Thursday night at 8 p.m. All right, on the other side, there was a big, massive 3-way trade in the NHL in the middle of the Stanley Cup Final. This never happens. We'll tell you about it. We'll tell you how Toronto could be impacted by this deal and potentially leaving an opening for the Leafs to maybe try and take advantage of a rebuilding Flyer squad. All that more coming up on the other side. But first, Dave, how about a word from our show sponsor?
Yep, and it is our title sponsor. It is Bird Dogs. If you're looking for the right clothing for the summertime, just to get you ready for, you know, whatever it is you need to do, whether that's going out to the gym, going out golfing, to a meeting, just a night out with the friends. Bird Dogs is the right fit for you. Bird Dog makes stretch khaki shorts that are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon's, but fit way better. They fit way better than regular shorts that are made of a stiff, restricting cotton. Bird Dogs fixed this issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks like just like khakis, but stretches so you get way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. Bird Dogs uses an anti-sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. I've been wearing the Bird Dogs, and it's great, you know, we're doing this little bit of work outside, playing golf. And when I got my Bird Dogs, I also got a free gift tumbler right through my order. I actually don't have it with me right now. I actually have it in the wash. So I'll make sure I have it on the next time we do a Bird Dogs read. So make sure you go to birddogs.com/lockdownNHL and enter the promo code LockedOnNHL for a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/lockedOnNHL for a free Yeti style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you that.
Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano with Dave Morisuti. This is a daily Maple Leaf centric podcast, and we put out episodes each and every weekday, Monday through Friday. So make sure that you are subscribed wherever you get your podcast from, audio form, also up on YouTube. And we would appreciate that if you enjoy the content that we're giving you guys and you want to know what's going on in Leafland and around the NHL all off season, make sure you are subscribed to the Locked On Leafs podcast. So I know we often just talk about the Maple Leafs and whatnot, but when there's a big trade that goes down, we do like to also analyze that and then, you know, maybe see, okay, how can this impact the Maple Leafs? So there was a big trade that happened yesterday, one that I was definitely not anticipating, because when do we ever see a blockbuster-ish deal in the middle of a cup final? It just doesn't happen. Like, usually everyone just, you know, lets the cup final be its own thing, and then they hold off and make the trades right afterward, leading up to the draft or even on the draft floor is typically when we'll see most of the big trades. But the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the LA Kings said, no, we're just going to get right to work here. We got some things up in the air that we want to get done and dealt with and not allow any other team to say no, I guess. So they came up with a three-way trade that sends Ivan Provorov, the defenseman for the Philadelphia Flyers, to the Columbus Blue Jackets. 30% of his contracts will be retained by the LA Kings. And in return, the Flyers are getting a first-round pick this year, which is 22nd overall, the pick that actually LA gave to Columbus, funny enough, for Gavrikov and Jonas Korpisalo. So they get the 22nd overall pick in this year's draft, and they get two second-round picks as well, one from Columbus, one from LA, Sean Walker, Cal Peterson, and Helga Granz. So that's the big haul that the Flyers end up getting for Ivan Provorov. You got Hodgson and then Kevin Connaughton going to the LA Kings, and LA retaining 30% of Provorov's contract. So it's a bit of a convoluted one, but essentially what happened is Columbus gets Provorov, the LA Kings get rid of Cal Peterson's contract, get rid of Sean Walker's contract, and they had to pay Helga Granz a second-round pick, and they also retained about $2 million of Provorov's salary to do so. So it's a bit of a convoluted trade in a way, but that's essentially what happened. What were your initial impressions on this deal? Like who won at the end of the day, in your opinion, between these three teams?
If the potential works, I mean, you like what Columbus is doing here, where they get, you know, a top four defenseman, Ivan Provorov, and what did they really give up to get him, right? Like, you know, not a whole lot when you consider, like, Columbus is trying to move forward. LA, yeah, the getting rid of Cal Peterson's contract was big for them. Getting rid of some money was big for them. But, I mean, it did come at a price, right? It wasn't like they just, you know, shipped them off and, you know, bing, bang, done. But, Yeah, I think Columbus just being able to get Provorov, I'm sure, is a big coup for them, just because they do need to start building, especially on that blue line. So I think I like what Columbus doing here. Philly, I mean, we know what their situation is. They're finally doing what I think Philly's been needing to do for a while, which is rebuild. And, you know, like, well, I don't even think if Philly has ever really done a rebuild. They've just been trying to mishmash guys together and hope that, you know, something works out.
So Philly is following in the same footsteps as the Chicago Blackhawks. And if you go back to what Philly did last year, and you go back to our podcast, you could literally go and say, wow, Mike called it. He said they were going to be this year's Chicago Blackhawks, because the season prior was the same thing. The Blackhawks stink. There's no way they need to be making trades. They just need to strip it down, and they just got to go ahead and rebuild this thing. Instead, they traded for Seth Jones. They gave him a fat contract, and they went on to be terrible. And then the following year, they said, oh, okay, we're terrible. We're going to strip it down. And that's literally exactly what's happening with the Flyers. They made trades to make themselves better last year. They brought in John Tortorella to be the head coach to try and be a playoff team. It didn't work. Ultimately, their GM ends up getting fired, and they end up with a completely new front office, new president, Danny Briere. This is the first trade that Danny Briere made as a general manager in the National Hockey League, a pretty good one. So guess what? Looks like rookie GMs can make pretty bold, sizable deals as well, I might add. And ultimately, you know, I do like this deal a lot for the Flyers. You know, like, yes, they took on a lot of salary and they took on some money here. Like, Cal Peterson's got 2 years left at $5 million, and he's a goaltender who was in the minors last year for LA. Like, he was not good at all. He was quite awful. But who cares? If you're a rebuilding team like the Flyers, Cal Peterson comes in to be your backup goaltender, you're trying to lose games anyway, so you could bail out and get some high draft capital. So I think that's a pretty shrewd deal. Sean Walker, he's still a player, right? Like, he's an NHL defenseman, and at $2.65 million, only has 1 year left on that deal. Like, that's an easy trade to make also. There's not a lot of, you know, right-handed defensemen out there who can play a stout, steady defensive game. Sean Walker can play that. So I think that's a definitely another movable contract to pick up another asset. You get a decent defensive asset, and Helga Granz, another right-handed player, you know, who's got some size to him. And then you pick up a first-round pick in a couple of seconds. So this, to me, was a home run return, realistically, for Ivan Provorov. And you just had to eat a little bit of money from L.A., and those couple of contracts, and you ended up with four actually really good assets, a first, 2 seconds, and Helga Granz. And then you also could get another one out of Sean Walker. I thought the Flyers did exceptional in this deal. The Kings, on the other hand, I'm not sure. Actually, let me quickly do Provorov. Provorov is a player that, when Mike Babcock was here in Toronto, was always linked to Ivan Provorov.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that this has Mike Babcock written all over it, by the way, who will be named the Columbus Blue Jackets head coach on July 1st. So it would not shock me if he's in there saying, hey, I would like to have this player, that player, this player. And Provorov was on that list of guys who he wanted on his squad. So that's my thought on Provorov. The LA Kings, they gave up a lot to get out of that Cal Peterson deal. They gave up a lot. So they only ended up with two minor league players on their roster, and they ended up with 30% of Provorov's cap. So that's what they ended up getting. But they had to give up, in order to get that, a second-round pick, Helga Granz, Sean Walker, and that would take on 30% of Provorov's deal also, just to get rid of Cal Peterson's contract. That seems like a lot to me. I don't know about you, but that seems like a lot to give up to get rid of a contract.
And that's for 2 seasons, right? 2 seasons.
Yeah, 2 years at $5 million, which is actually the salary escalated in this deal, so it's actually $11 million in real cash, real dollars.
we talked about the Matt Murray deal. If you listen to our mailbag, we talked about the Matt Murray deal and how salary is kind of the big talking point, not just cap hit in a deal like this. And this is why that deal for Cal Peterson just was such a risky move by LA, because, like, first off, you're betting on obviously Cal Peterson to work out. They also had Jonathan Quick at the time making a boatload of change. And now, yeah, and they've just made it a very tough situation where they had to part with quite a few assets just to get this done. And they're going to be taking on Provorov's contract. Now, Peterson also did have a modified no-trade clause, so maybe that also impacted.
How did they give him a modified no-trade?
I don't understand.
That was such a terrible, terrible deal.
Yeah, and so when I'm looking at Provorov's deal, right, and you know the impact that's going to have on their salary cap. Like, I was also hearing that they're going to try to get. There was reports that Gavrikov, they're trying to get him signed, and so like you're taking away the piece of the pie a little bit to get that done. I guess they're fortunate they do have some young players signed, so they're not, you know, the salary cap hit isn't going to be too drastic for them. But I mean, they're still taking on, I'm just checking here, they're taking on, yeah, over, as you said, over $2 million for the next two seasons. Like, that's not sure, like, small change there, especially when they have, you know, they have some important decisions to make. I think Gabe Vilardi needs a new deal. You still have that Dustin, you know, the Drew Doughty deal. You still have, as you said, Gavrikov to sign. They still have to get another goaltender signed. I know they have Copley for another year.
I assume they'll try and re-up Korpisalo.
Yeah, like if they can get Korpisalo at a decent deal, that's just a very risky situation. That, I mean, obviously Cal Peterson was never going to work out there anymore. But yeah, like the Kings are, it's a very interesting scenario. I'm assuming they're going to have more moves coming down the pipe there.
Probably. But here's where I look at this and I think, okay, from at least perspective, if it costs Walker, Granz a second, and they had to take on $2 million of Provorov's contract this year and next to get out of that Cal Peterson contract, what's it going to cost for the Maple Leafs to get out of Matt Murray?
Yeah.
Right? Like, is that a framework in a way? Now, Peterson's got 2 years left on that deal and $11 million in cash, whereas, obviously, Matt Murray's is only 1 year at $8 million in cash, $6 million actually, because Ottawa's paying the other $2 million. So it's not as much term. It's a higher A. It's not as much term and dollars. So it probably wouldn't cost as much. I would imagine. But you also did take on $2 million in Provorov for the next 2 years. So really, I suppose it only was actually about $7 million in actual cash that that you're offloading there to get out of the Peterson deal, when you also think about that they brought in Provorov's money. So that's where it is kind of interesting, where that makes it somewhat similar to Matt Murray in terms of real dollars paid, you know, $6 million as opposed to $7 million that Cal Peterson has. So is this a framework maybe for what it would cost to get, you know, someone to bite on that Matt Murray contract, to get that to go away? That's kind of where my mind went immediately when I saw this trade and I saw how much that LA gave up to get rid of Cal Peterson and to have his contract involved in this deal. And I'm curious if maybe, you know, this is a bit of a framework for a Matt Murray situation at some point here.
Well, yeah, you look at what the market dictates in these sort of situations, right? And it just makes it a little complicated, because the Leafs, I mean, if you're looking at this draft, the Leafs only have 3 picks. Like, they can't just, you know, make a pick flat, nor unless they trade something, you know, they're going to be trading, obviously, futures. And the Leafs have still traded quite a few draft picks in the future, too, right? Like, they did it in the Jake McCabe trade, you know, part of the reason why they don't have as many picks this year is through the Mark Giordano trade and the Luchet trade.
Trades that they've made by going all in, or that they've made by going for it over the course of the last, you know, 3 years. Of course, that's going to happen with any franchise.
So that's why when you and I were discussing the buyout option, like at some point, you know, this team has to realize that they got to ensure the cupboards are stocked for the future, right? Because, you know, we're talking about if William Nylander leaves, if, you know, X player or Y player leaves, like you're going to have to start looking at your prospect capital to see how many of these guys you're going to be able to replace. Now, you're not going to obviously hit on every draft pick, but having more bullets in the chamber certainly does help. And so, yeah, I don't know if a team's just going to say, yeah, we'll take a fourth round pick to take on Matt Murray's salary. No. I just don't see that happening. No. Not anymore.
No. I mean, the Leafs, they got a third round pick for taking on Matt Murray's deal last year, and that blew up in their face. That was with, you know, them thinking Matt Murray still had some game in him, which clearly was not really the case. And now that there's nothing left in that guy, I would imagine that there's not a whole lot of teams lining up to take on that contract. Plus, he's got a no trade, no move. There's a lot of difficulties with that deal. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening. But I immediately went and thought to myself, what could that mean as a framework potentially for a Matt Murray trade? Speaking of trades with the Flyers and the Leafs, want to take a quick break. When we come back, Dave, if the Flyers are rebuilding and having a fire sale, there are a couple of names I think that Toronto could be kind of circling and retro-living, maybe get on the horn and try and make a deal. We'll play some swipe right, swipe left on the other side with some of the Philly players and maybe who Toronto could be interested in. But before we get into all that, let's talk about one of today's show sponsors, and that's your good pals over at FanDuel. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NHL playoffs, because right now new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. There's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than at America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano. Got Dave Morosutti with me on the heels of a big trade involving the Philadelphia Flyers, as well as the LA Golden Knights, but it's the LA Kings and the Columbus Blue Jackets. But it looks to me as the Flyers are open for business. I was also reading a story on the trade last night, and it appears that that is the case. The multiple times the word rebuild has been used by new general manager Danny Briere out in Philadelphia. So if the Flyers are open for business and they're in rebuild mode, there's a couple of guys in there that might look good in a Toronto sweater, isn't there, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, this is where the Sharks are going to be circling, right? Like, you see a team make a deal like that, and I mean, it was going off in the Discord, you know, as soon as that trade went on, I was like, all right, let's go shopping. It's almost like that. I mean, it's like Philly, we were talking about it, like Philly's making the right choice and finally, you know, taking a step back, because it's just that Metro division. I don't see Philly ever being able to compete with that roster. So they're making the smart decision. Credit Danny Briere and for finally making that decision to move
Keith
off.
Keith Jones, new president they hired.
Finally Keith Jones talking some sense into that Flyers ownership group, just like we all predicted he would.
It's funny. Keith Jones apparently kept the lid on that so well. Like, I spoke to a couple people who he was working with, because he does media down south, and like his closest colleagues had no idea that he was even interviewing for the job, and all of a sudden he's putting in his resignation and taking the president's job in Philadelphia. That's how tight-lipped he was on that whole situation, by the way. I thought that was really interesting to hear. Okay, let's do a fun little exercise, okay, Dave? We're both single dudes, so, you know, we sit there on the old Bumble apps or the Hinge or the Tinder, whatever it may be. sit there, swipe right, swipe left. We know what that means, right? If you swipe right on someone, that means you're interested. You're intrigued. If you swipe left, you got no interest in that person. Get out of here. I don't really care to talk with you. So why don't we do a little swipe right, swipe left, Philadelphia Flyers edition. I'll go down kind of the list of their cap-friendly players, and you tell me if you have any interest in this player if the Maple Leafs were to call and inquire on these guys, okay?
All right, let's do this.
All right, we'll start off with the forwards. Kevin Hayes makes $7.1 million for the next 3 years.
I don't know which way it's going to show on the camera. I'm going to go swipe left.
Okay. I would agree. I'm
too much money for his age and the player he is right now. He's a good player, just not at that price.
Travis Konecny, 5.5 the next 2 years.
Let's give a little swipe right to Travis Konecny here. The one that got away from the Leafs.
Yeah. Agreed. The one that got away. Yeah. Yeah, you could definitely look at it that way. Who was the trade that they Travis moved back? Kermit.
The Flyers traded into the first round to the Leafs. The Leafs got a second round pick and a couple of other picks, and they took Travis Dermott with that second round pick.
Right. And hey, that's,
I think Jeremy Brockle might have been the other pick.
Oh yeah, they took him in the third round. I think you're right. But that is the type of player that Toronto, you know, could kind of use. He's not a big guy, but he's got jam, right? Like he's got that jam that a lot of people in Toronto like and want to see. And he's a good player. He scored 30 goals this year. So I think for sure, if I'm Brad Treliving, you know, that's somebody you're looking to beef up the top six with, you know, someone who's got a little bit of jam and someone who also has a scoring punch and provide that secondary scoring. I think I'd be calling on Travis Konecny all day long. All right, let's keep going. Joel Farabee, 23 years old, just signed an extension. I don't think he's going anywhere, but you know, 5 years, $5 million per season. I would swipe right on this, he'll be part of the next wave at just 23 years old. I don't think they'll be entertaining much Joel Farabee trades.
Yeah, for the sake of it, we'll swipe right, but the Flyers are definitely going to hit that good old ignore button.
Yeah, this is one where you're swiping right, but like you know that there's no way this person is way out of your league. You know there's no way they're swiping back with that one. All right, next up we've got Scott Laughton, $3 million. He's 29 years old. He's making $3 million for the next 3 seasons.
I would swipe right on this one. I think the Leafs could use some depth at center, and he's the type of player I think the Leafs could really use, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, I definitely would swipe on this also. He's just like a perfect third liner, right? Perfect third liner. He's represented the country well, so he's played in some high leverage games. I think Scott Laughton could be a really good addition to this Maple Leaf squad. He plays the right way, you know, that two-way game that this team desperately needs. And at $3 million, 29 years old, I think there's still some game left, and I think that's a reasonable cap it for, you know, your third line center. Nick DeLaurier, 3 more years at $1.75 million, 32 years old.
And he has a modified no trade clause, but I'm
why? Why does he have a modified no trade clause? Like, this is just so.
Yeah, he Nick DeLaurier needs to protect his future. It's a 20 team trade list, too. Like, oh my God, these deals are just so hilarious. I mean, I would swipe left anyways. That's too much money for like a guy like that. I mean, again, he's not a brutal player, but just for that price, the Leafs can find better talent elsewhere.
Agreed. I'm swiping left on this one as well. Owen Tippett, $1.5 million for 1 more year, but still an RFA, 24 years old. Would you be interested? Would you sniff around an Owen Tippett?
I mean, Owen Tippett's a good talent. I don't think Philly would move off from him because of his age and what they gave up to get him. Like, that cost him Claude Giroux. I used to watch Owen Tippett quite a bit when he was in juniors. I thought there was a lot of talent there. I just don't think he's put it all together yet as a player. So he'd be an intriguing prospect in that regard. I just would be very wary of the cost that it would be to acquire him.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I would say. I would definitely swipe right if the price is right, but I wouldn't be overpaying to pry him out of Philadelphia. Really quickly, a couple more guys that they have under contract. Wade Allison, 25 years old, making $785 next year. Swipe left.
Yeah.
Tanner Lachinsky, making $762 next year, 26 years old. Swipe left.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. A couple of guys there that are just going to be jobbers for the Philadelphia Flyers. All right. Really quickly, we got to zip through these next few here. On defense, any interest in Travis Sanheim, who has a new deal that just kicked in, making $6.2 million for the next, UFA at the end of 2031. So he just signed like an 8-year deal that's just kicking in now. So you'll have Travis Sanheim making $6.25 million until he is like 35 years old.
I'm going to swipe left on that one. And again, he has a full no trade clause. So good.
That contract made zero sense when it was when they signed it. And it makes even less sense today. Like, honestly.
You know what's the funny thing? Sometimes just the contract alone is a no trade clause. Like, I don't think teams realize how some brutal deals can be their own no trade clauses in a lot of ways.
Was the Rasmus Ristolainen trade last summer or the summer before?
I think it was last summer because it was with Buffalo, right? Yeah, I think it was last offseason.
Yeah, so like that's what I meant when I was talking earlier about how they kind of pulled the Chicago. Like they tried trading for Ristolainen and they brought in Tony D'Angelo.
Two summers ago. He's been there two seasons.
Okay, so still they brought him in. And then the last summer they brought in Tony D'Angelo. They extended Travis Sanheim to this crazy, ridiculous contract. They signed Nick Delorier to a long-term 4-year deal. Like they just made all these weird signings and it was like, why your team blows? Like you're going to be rebuilding in a year. And here they are. Now they've got these terrible deals. They're kind of handcuffed with, and we'll see what they end up doing. I keep getting a call from my producer here from work. I might have to take that in a moment. All right. Really quickly, Rasmus Ristolainen.
Swipe left. Like you can't go fast enough.
I'd swipe right, and I'd call, what? And I'd inquire. I'd see what's going on there. He had a good year, like he had a resurgent year.
Unless the Flyers retain salary, that's the only reason why I consider it.
Which is possible, but he had a pretty good season. I'll say that. Like he actually somewhat, like Brad Hunt's the defensive coach there, kind of turned him into a serviceable defenseman in his own end. Like his numbers actually look decent.
He's a $5.1 million defenseman, though. Like he's not bad.
But he's exactly what they need, though. Like a big, sturdy, top four guy who can play in his own end, who'll cross check the hell out of you in front of your own net. I'd inquire, just see, hey, what would it take? Would you be willing to retain? I would at least inquire. Like, you can't do that if you swipe left. That person's gone forever. Swipe right. You hope for a match. You hope you talk, and maybe you could come up with something. You never know. I'd swipe right on it. Tony D'Angelo, I'm swiping left. I don't think we need to really explain that one a whole lot. Here's one. Carter Hart, $3.9 million this year. Then he's an RFA. You swiping right on a potential Carter Hart deal? Would you be interested in rolling the dice on a Carter Hart, Dave?
I like the potential of Carter Hart. The cost is what I'd be concerned about because they're going to try to put this as a franchise goalie. And, you know, he's had inconsistencies. He's looked really good some years and he's looked unplayable at times. So I think they're backing themselves into a little bit of a corner here with Carter Hart after the Cal Peterson trade. It's almost like we're making it known that we're trading Carter without making it known we're trading Carter Hart. They don't have to move him right away, but he's also an RFA. It just seems like he's been wanting out of Philly for the longest time.
There was a report yesterday too that Philly's, they're listening on him. Not even a report, actually. After the trade call went down and Breer spoke, he said that they are actively listening on all trades, including Carter Hart. And there was a report out of Philly that they were potentially also close to a separate Carter Hart deal separately from the Provorov trade. So, I mean, this guy's on the market for sure. So if Toronto did want to bring him in as a goaltender, it sounds like they're willing to listen.
So now could, and I brought, I don't know who, I think I, I brought this up in a French chat where I said, if you could talk to Philly about a Carter Hart trade and say, can you take Matt Murray's contract from us? What would that look like? Because we know that they're in full out, you know, they're going not scorched earth, but they're not competing for the next little bit. What would it take for them to do that deal?
Yeah, you'd have to give up, man. Like, you'd have to give up quite a bit. I mean, to take on the contract of Cal Peterson, they asked for Walker, Gronz, and a second-round pick to take on that contract. And then also they asked for Philly to take on $2 million of Provorov's deal as well. Right? That's what they charged to take on Peterson's deal. So what are they going to charge the Maple Leafs to take on that deal?
Yeah. I'm just wondering if that's a possibility. It might be a little too much, but I'd entertain it.
Could there be a worse tandem than Matt Murray and Cal Peterson?
I've seen worse.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever Chicago put out last year might have been worse.
This is true. This is true. But like, just like a more, maybe that the worst isn't, but a more disappointing tandem than maybe those two. After the years that they've had, two guys who have made $5+ million in playing minor league games last year. Remember, they sent Ottawa sent Matt Murray to the minors last year, played a couple of games down there. Well, that's what happened to Cal Peterson this year in LA. $5 million. Sorry, you're not doing it for us. We're sending you down to the minors. Tough look for that guy. All right, good stuff, man. So, you know, there are definitely some players that could be of interest for the Toronto Maple Leafs if they want to pick up the phone and see if they can try and get something cooking with Danny Briere and the rebuilding Philadelphia Flyers. There's a lot of candidates for them to go after. So we'll see if maybe something could happen potentially at some point here with the squad. All right, let's wrap it up for today. Fun stuff. Really appreciate it, Dave. That'll do it for us here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcast platforms. You receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck. Follow Dave at @D_MorrisSudi. Go ahead, leave a like and a comment down on YouTube. That'd be greatly appreciated. We'll be back with another episode for y'all tomorrow. Help tee up Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final and get into the nitty-gritty of what's going on in Leafland. But until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On Leafs.